VIP Conduit presents another edition of Getting to Know You for July 2022. In the spotlight this month is Jack Crawford from Alabama. Here is our host, Susie B. from Tennessee.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's event of Getting to Know You. And tonight, my special guest is, and I did say special, is Jack C. from Alabama. Jack, welcome.
Nice to have y'all, and I'll do the best I can to tell you about me. Hope y'all don't go to sleep.
Let's start off with, where were you born?
I was born in Arab, Alabama in 1967.
Okay, do you have siblings? And if so, where were you in the lineup?
I was the youngest. I had two brothers. One of them is no longer with us.
Okay, what was the cause of your vision problem? And at what age was this discovered?
Right away. I had retroventral fibroplasia, which is too much oxygen. And I went to Johns Hopkins, they did eye surgery on one eye, and I had a little bit of light perception, have a little bit touch of light perception in my left eye, not much. So basically I can tell if the sun's out, and that's about it.
Well, we're going to come back to Johns Hopkins because you have an interesting little tidbit there. When it came time to go to school, where did you go?
I went to kindergarten and stayed with a couple that we met while I was down there at Talladega. And I also went to first and second grade there. And there were some abuse issues without going into details. And I wound up coming back home and going to public school the rest of the time.
Okay, when you went to public school, did you have the accommodations so far as a Braille instructor and helping you get your classwork in a media where you could use it?
It was very limited to begin with. It got better as time went on. I lived in Morgan County, in a rural area in the country. I lived 4 miles from a country store. And the school was where the country store was, the high school was. Now, the other schools were a little further away. But the Braille instruction was very limited that I had because they just didn't have the people. And back then, most everybody went to the school for the blind, so it was a little different back at that time. There are a lot more kids going to public school now than used to be. So, anyway, from my understanding.
Well, since I'm always older than the people I ask this question to, well, as a rule, how old are you?
I am 54.
I only asked that because I was trying to, you know, gauge what the schools were like in that period of time. When you were in school, and I'm talking about public school, this is grammar and high school, were you involved in any special activities outside the classroom?
I was in home ec some when I was in high school, and I was in chorus some, but that was the activities I was involved in.
Did you have any special interest when you were in high school? I mean, any particular subject that you really liked?
As far as a school subject, I liked history better than most of the other stuff.
Were your history books available on tape at that time?
No, I had to have it read to me in recorded classes. I recorded most all my classes. I had one of those APH cassette recorders, one of the large ones.
Right. One of those reel-to-reel?
No, they were regular cassettes. They were four-track recorders, four-track cassette recorders.
Gotcha. After, well, while you were in school, like when you're a senior, a lot of times people have an idea of what they want to do when they get out. And then a lot of others, they don't have a clue. But did you have any idea of what you might want to do when you got out of school?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and I spent a lot of my I raised chickens and messed with chickens a lot, and I thought about getting into the agriculture industry and messing with that. But I wound up going to trade school, to E.H. Gentry, and going to work for the Industries for the Blind. And then I wound up going into the vending program because the Industries for the Blind, I was working in a broom shop, and I had a lot of allergies related to the working there, so I couldn't stay there.
Now, this trade center, vocational center, the Gentry, that's in Talladega, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you went into the vending training. Did you all have, you know, like classroom training and hands-on type training, or was it just, we're going to put you in a vending location?
You had both on-hands training and classroom training when I went through it. So you had to go through both. So you had to work. You had to do behind-the-counter work. You had to do filling vending machines. You had to do braille reports and stuff like that. So you did have to do that. And I had to go through an evaluation before I got into vending training. And I prayed to the Lord to pass that evaluation test because of the spelling part of it, because I'm a terrible, terrible speller. And I want to add to any of y'all, I just pray that any who don't know Christ would come to know the love and grace and peace that only He can give you. And that was such a help to me in high school when I turned to Christ, and I really didn't truly turn to Him until later in life because I did a lot of stumbling along the way in my life. But I just thank the Lord for everything He's done for me. I can't thank Him enough.
Sometimes when we're in training or different things happen, there's hurdles that they almost seem like there's no way you can get over that mountain, don't they?
Yes, it does. It was very challenging getting over the mountain and training sometimes. And I had an instructor, and this guy was a very good instructor, but I didn't appreciate him till later. But the vending instructor made it hard on people, and he put lots of challenges before you, and he did it on purpose. Because I talked to him about it later, and I talked to other vendors about it later. But he wanted to see you succeed when you got out. And so he wanted to eliminate people that couldn't make it, you know, couldn't do the job. So he did the best he could, and I appreciated it later.
I think sometime when raising children, we call that tough love, but you're right. Can you think of any specific hurdle before age 25? You probably had lots, but can you think of any one specific hurdle?
My daddy got killed in 1989. That was before I was 25. And he got killed in an industrial explosion. And like 91, I think it was, my grandpa on my mother's side passed away. In 92, my brother took his life, the one I said that's no longer around. So it was a lot of challenging times in that period. So I just thank God for helping us through that period of time.
Absolutely. All right, you said you grew up in the country and you raised chickens. Did you give them names?
Not usually, but I had a couple that I did. I had a couple of chickens that I called Priscilla and Frenchie. But most of them, no, I just raised them. We had one time, and this is a funny story. I don't know how this happened, but we had a calf one time. We carried the, and we were getting it ready to carry to the sale. I mean, carry to the slaughterhouse. And they named it when they were going through the chute. They just called him Pokey because he was moving slow. Well, we were at the slaughterhouse, and they said, somebody just shot Pokey, and I didn't eat hamburger for 6 months.
I'll tell you our story about that sometime. When you were in the vending program, tell us a little bit about different places that you work, because I doubt that you were at just one place.
I had a route to begin with. Well, both things I had were routes. They were what I call load and go facilities. But my route I had was scattered all the way from South Parkway in Huntsville to Madison, which is a town on the other side of Huntsville. And they're basically pretty much together. And anyway, but it's a ways across Huntsville. And it was just a whole bunch of different small places when I started. It didn't make very much money. And I wound up a little later getting a mental health center. And that helped a lot as far as money went, making some more money. Then I had some temporary places that I worked, some other vendors had, that they didn't keep running properly. So I would go run them for a while, and then they would go off and be another route somewhere. So I did that for a while, and before I got out of the program, I was working at NASA. That, I just had, what was it, about 13 buildings out there. I had one building, for example, that had 13 drink machines and 5 snack in it. NASA overall had about 37 drink machines and 18 snack, I think, when I was out there, and it did pretty good. It wasn't great. A lot of those places were small, and some of them did decent.
Now, you're talking about all these drink machines. Did you have your drink machines on full service, or did you load all of those drink machines?
I loaded all the drink machines myself. It was either one of two things. It was either my mother or another guy I had employed for me loading the snack machines. But I loaded the drink machines. I never had machines on full service.
Now, what sort of vehicle did you have to transport all of this, these drinks and snacks in?
Well, it's funny. When I first started and I had a small route, I had a minivan, which really wasn't equipped to do what we did. But we made it work for a while. And then I wound up getting a 12-passenger van. It took the middle seat out of it. And I had a large cooler for candy that went in front of the middle seat, a smaller cooler for pastry that went in front of that, and I had crates and stuff that sit up on the seat with snacks in them, and I had stacks of crates by the seat next to the door because I had a set of double doors that opened that went there. in a hand truck standing up in front of all that, and you just had to pull the hand truck out. And then in the back was the drinks, and I had to put cardboard flats around the door handles because the door handles on vans have these pointed things that would have pierced the cans if you didn't do that, and they swung open on the back of the van. So that's the way that van was made, the bigger one. And so I would crawl up on top of the drinks and just dig down there and hold them up for whoever was getting the snacks, and I'd just ask them, what's this flavor? And they would tell me, and if it was one I needed, I'd set it over to the side, and then I'd get those and I'd load them on the hand truck. And when we went in the building, I would know which way I had them on the hand truck, and then I'd unload them.
Now, that's interesting about the coolers for the candy and the pastries, because when the weather was warm, those things would have melted and ruined, right?
Yeah, you had to have coolers. If you didn't have coolers, they would have totally ruined.
Yes. Okay, in the midst of all of this vending area, we always run up, any job you have, you're going to have some incident that it was either a funny or a very not funny situation. Only need one story, so it can be a funny or a not funny story that kind of stands out in your mind.
Well, I'll tell you a funny one, okay? We were at the mental health center one day. And we were walking up there, and we went up there. The secretary kept notes on who had lost money. And so we were standing up there, and we were giving money back from the week before where people had lost it. And this guy walks up, and he says, whatever I lost last week, just put me down for the same thing next week. And I said, I think it's time to take him off the list.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit. When did you first get acquainted with a computer? You know, one of those things that talk to you.
That was in 99. I went to computer training. I decided I'd see what I could do with one. And I got one. And there was a lady at AIDB that was a real good instructor, and she asked me a simple question. And I think anybody that's helping anybody with a computer should ask this question. She said, what do you want to do with this? So, and we started talking from there. And so, anyway, we moved on from there. We became very good friends for years. And so we talked for years after I got done with going there. But I'd go over there like once a week and get some training and work at home. And first thing I did was typing lessons. And then moved on from there and different things. But I was very afraid to install programs and do things to begin with when I got on the computer.
Were you hesitant about sending emails?
You know, I don't remember about that, but I didn't send very many because of my spelling. But I don't remember ever being hesitant about sending them as such when I did send them.
I had a computer 3 years before I ever was brave enough to send an email. So that's why I wanted to ask that question. After the computers, which, of course, you still use, then came along another fascination, and that was the iPhone. When did that happen?
2011, I think it was, that I got an iPhone 4S. Well, I got an iPod before I got an iPhone because I was very skeptical of the iPhone working. I did not think the flat surface was going to work for us. Even though I'd heard people do it, it didn't matter to me. I just was afraid to have that be my phone. So I wound up getting an iPod, and then I got an iPhone.
Well, have you all been partners ever since?
Yep. Don't have a landline or nothing here now. Just cell phone.
I know you don't count, and you probably couldn't count this high anyway, but you have, of all the people that you've worked with using the iPhone, it's been a lot, hasn't it?
It's been a fair number of folks.
Absolutely. All right. What about, oh, I want to go back. When you were in, of course, you were a baby, and you were in Baltimore. That's where Johns Hopkins is, right?
Yes.
Okay. Your mom was staying part of the time at a hotel. That was kind of a rough area, wasn't it?
Yes. And they actually had a fence around the hotel, and they instructed her at night to not walk across the street to that hotel, and she had to take a cab to it. And then she got to where she could stay over at the hospital, and she was able to stay over there. But even there was dangerous. They actually had a nurse somewhere around that time that got killed in a stairwell. It was a very rough time around Johns Hopkins in 1968. And it was not long after we left there that Martin Luther King was assassinated, and they had riots around that area and destroyed a bunch of stuff.
And had they known you were from Alabama, it wouldn't have been better, right?
Probably not.
Hobbies. Do you have any hobbies other than your computer and your iPhone involvements?
That's what I have now, is computer, iPhone. When I was growing up, it was animals. I liked birds. I had quails, and I had pheasants, and I had chickens, and I had stuff like that, dogs and cats and so forth. Now it's computers and phone.
Well, other than buying them, you don't have to feed and clean up after them.
This is true.
Do you enjoy listening to audiobooks? And if so, what sort do you like?
And I do like audiobooks. And I like spy/ suspense. And I like westerns. And I like Christian fiction. And I like the Bible. That's what I like in the audiobooks.
Now, do you listen to your audiobooks on your phone, on a Victor Reader, the library computer, or combination of all of those?
Actually, I listen to them on my Alexa device when it's audible part of the time. I listen to them on my phone. I listen to them on my iPad. And I very rarely use the library player. I do use the stream some at night. I put it on loop, and if I'm playing a short book, that way it will loop and just keep playing, because I've got a book on that's a repeat to go to sleep to. I've been doing that since I was a kid, listening to books at night.
I have to have a book when I go to bed. Now, you said you gave a combination of books you like. If you chose about three different authors, could you choose three that were special?
Several of them have passed away that I like. Clive Cussler has passed away. Tom Clancy's passed away. Louis L'Amour's passed away. And Vince Flynn has passed away. So there are people writing for those people that are doing a pretty good job. I also like the Joe Pickett series, C.J. Box, that particular series. But I don't know about his other books because I haven't read any of them. But Louis L'Amour is my favorite Western writer. I've tried some others, but he's by far my favorite one of those.
Okay, you have been involved in chat sites for a number of years. Can you give us kind of a lineup of, you know, the first one and many that you have been part of, other than, of course, we know VIP, but where did you start out?
Okay, I can give you a rough lineup. Years ago, there was a website called JFW Light, and that had a chat site on it. And I'm the first one on that. From there, I went to Audio Tips. From Audio Tips, I went to For the People. For the People, I went over here, and also to Out of Sight, and also Blind Cafe, somewhere along the mix. I went there a little bit, very little, but I did go there some. And ICC, Interactive Christian Community. And I took a break from them for a little while and got on Skype and got to talking to a bunch of people on Skype. And I just spent a lot of time on Skype, so I wasn't on them for a year or two because I just got on Skype with a bunch of folks.
Well, I know here, of course, I get to talk to you, but I know you're very involved in the prayer group here on VIP. Is that right?
I come to it pretty regular. I probably get to the ICC one a little more, but I do come to this one.
Oh, and you left out something. It's not a chat site, but what's the thing on the iPhone? The something club?
Clubhouse. Clubhouse is a way later thing. Yeah, and I am on that, and I use it occasionally. And also, the very first person I talked to on Messenger was Niecy. And that was an interesting thing, and that happened way back in my computer class. And that was the first I discovered. It was on MSN Messenger, and that was the first I discovered of audio chat on the computer. And I was on dial-up back then, of course. There was a girl in the computer class that went to school with her at Tennessee School for the Blind. So anyway, she kept wanting to talk to her. Well, somehow I wound up getting in touch with her actually before this other girl did again. So I can't remember how all that worked now. But anyway, that was the first person I talked to on the computer.
Yes, I know Niecy very well. I need to get in touch with her. Jack, I think I warned you that after I get finished asking questions, all these people in here are going to get their shot at you. So just take a deep breath. And if there's anything that asked you that you don't want to answer, just say move on. So guys, before I do that, Jack, is there anything that you want to add that we hadn't talked about?
I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but I can't think of it, to be quite honest.
Well, if you think of it in the midst of their questions, you can just say, okay, I remember it, and just go ahead and say it then. Okay, gang, I'm going to give you a chance to ask Jack questions. One thing I want to remind you of is if you're keyed up and somebody else is asking a question, gets the key before you, please let go of your key. Otherwise, Jack isn't going to get a chance to answer your question. I think we're going to have plenty of time for everybody to get a chance. So, Jack, thank you so, so much for doing this. And, folks, it's question time.
Jack, weren't you on the Vox chat also?
No, I never was. I never was on that. Well, the first chat client I ever installed was Chatterbox.
Oh, really? You all are going to let him off that easy?
Apparently so.
Well, I don't really have a question, but this is really interesting. Boy, you've done a lot of stuff, and I'm impressed. And I'm also competing with the TV in there, and they're doing a lot of shooting in there. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for all the help you've been to me. I really appreciate it, and it's always good to know that you're always willing to help.
And I'm going to bounce back here because there's not a whole bunch of people asking questions. I'm wondering how come you didn't say that sports was one of your greatest hobbies, because I know it is. And also, Jack is one of our tech team members, and he's a lot of help. And I want to thank Jack and thank for us knowing you. I think I've known you for probably 20-some years. It's been a pleasure.
Yep, you're correct. I left sports out. And I do listen to a lot of sports. I wasn't at all interested in sports when I was younger. And I just got interested in them in about the mid-80s. I started getting a little interested in sports, and it just grew and grew on me. And now I really love football better than any sport, and baseball next.
Jack, I want to ask you about raising chickens. The chickens that you raised, were they for laying eggs, or were they for eating? And how many would you guys have at a time?
Okay, it wasn't commercial stuff I was doing at the time. It was just me fiddling with them, quite honestly, Rod. I had a bunch of game chickens, and a lot of times they were out on the yard. We did eat eggs, and we did eat some of the chickens, but they were it was not a commercial operation. And I considered getting into a commercial operation, but I never did. So, no, we had, on the farm where I grew up, we had beef cattle, and that's what we had on the farm. Also, we worked on the farm. We hauled wood, drove a lot of fence posts. I was thankful when we got post drivers, by the way, and didn't have to dig post holes anymore, because I'd rather use, when they came along with steel posts, you could do barbed wire fences with, it was a lot easier to do steel posts than do the wooden post or the would dig a post hole. We did that. And I spent a lot of time splitting wood and stacking wood, hauling wood. Well, I wasn't hauling it as such. I was putting it on a truck or trailer. We had a 18-foot trailer that with sideboards on it and a truck. And we'd fill that foot of wood and carry it to the house and unload it.
Jack, I sure do thank you for helping me learn how to use an iPhone. If it wasn't for you, I would have never learned it. And you've helped me on my computer, too. Thanks a lot.
That's the reason you're going to do an interview next time.
Jack, I think it's so admirable that your faith in Jesus has guided you through your life. And I know so many times you've brought that up to me, and I think a lot of us could learn from that.
You can't never have enough faith. You know, just turn to the Lord if you have any questions.
Jack, I've really appreciated getting to know you all these years. I admire your faith also. I wondered if you had a favorite Bible text.
Well, probably, really, John 3:16-17, if you look those up.
So, you've been blind all your life, Jack. It's amazing to me to hear all those things you just talked about doing. I don't mean the computers, but I'm talking about on the farm. And you were doing all that with no sight.
That's correct. The only time I got really aggravated doing all that more than anything was when they were cutting down trees and when they were running a chainsaw. It's very disorienting because of the echo in the woods.
Well, I hope you weren't in the top of that tree using a chainsaw.
I never have used a chainsaw.
But he split all that wood.
Yep. Now, the way you did, I had Sears had a wedge. It was a four-way wedge, and it had a pin in the bottom. And you put it in the center of a log, and you basically, in the top, of course, and you started driving it in with a sledgehammer. You hit it a real good lick the last time or two. And a lot of times it would jam and you'd have to beat it apart, but it would split it four ways that way. I never could use just a single wedge very good. And it took me a little while to learn how far to stand off and swing a sledgehammer to hit the wedge.
Jack, my dad, it's how he made his or side money or whatever. He'd cut around 100 cord of wood a year, or he'd have somebody do it or whatever, and he'd sell it. But we mainly cut birch and maple. What kind of trees did you got? What do you have those same kind of trees where you come from?
A lot of pine right down here. A lot of pine, a lot of oak, that sort of stuff.
Anyone else with questions?
Who's your favorite baseball team? Taking his Braves.
Yeah, Braves is favorite baseball team. Auburn is my favorite football team.
Any other questions?
Can I ask another one, Susie?
Yeah, go ahead.
How's your mother doing, Jack?
She's doing pretty good. She's got a little bit of sciatica going on right now and stuff, but she's hanging in there.
Hi, Jack. It's Janice. I'd just like to say that you mean a lot to me. I just admire your faith. It really gives me something to go on to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ain't always easy as it sounds.
Well, Jack, I appreciate so much you sitting at your desk to do this interview. And I have an idea that you're very, very tired now and would like to get back where you're more comfortable. So if there are any other questions, let's please get those in.
I enjoyed your interview, buddy. And I'll see you every day I can on the VIP.
Thank you. And it's been good. You know, I haven't got tired, so it's worked the way I did it.
Okay, good. Is your mom listening to this?
No, she's in the other room listening to a book.
Does she like audiobooks too, Jack?
Yes, she does.
Well, Jack, it's Judy, and I just want to thank you for doing this and for helping me with my phone. The first phone I had, I knew nothing about, and you walked me through setting up. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. As long as I'm up to it, I'll be glad to help anybody. Y'all all have a blessed evening.
Well, again, thanks all of you for coming in, and most of all, thank you, Jack, for doing this. Terry and Parker were real worried about whether you would do this or not. And they finally said, Susie, you just need to call him and ask him. So when I did, you were gracious enough to agree. So thank you so, so much. And we have really enjoyed getting to know you. Thanks, everyone.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.